Owen's upset. Tell us why you're upset, Dylan. Or Owen.
Well, I'm upset mainly because you don't even know my damn name. Yeah. I've been on the show since 2017. You call me Dylan.
Yeah.
All right. No, I don't know who I'm upset more at. You guys for not bringing it up. We mentioned it briefly in Lima Likes, and that's it. They did win a series this weekend, the Cleveland Guardians. And as I've been the loud Guardians fan on the show, I will continue to do that. They won a series this weekend against a team that sold off half their team. But the bigger thing was the thing that anybody that had paid attention to the Guardians all summer long knows. We've been demanding CJ Kafis to come up. You know, he's the only one that's, you know, actually healthy right now from the Columbus Clippers. But CJ Kafis finally came up, and not only did he come up, they played him both games that he's been up. It's not like he came up and had a pitch hit on his first appearance, and then maybe they throw him in there on his second appearance. He came up, he had an RBI in his first at bat, and then he got a hit in the ninth yesterday when they needed hits, right? And I don't know if I'm more upset at you guys for not mentioning it now 9:22, or at the Cleveland Guardians themselves for waiting until August 2nd to bring him up. Because had they done this a month ago when everybody was clamoring for him, they would have absolutely got the run that they desired.
That's true, but I think it would have been a little bit overdone on what the reaction would have been. I'm trying to be fair to CJ Kafis.
So
when guys
so
come
we're
up,
not overdoing it with this Dylan Gabriel, Shedeur Sanders thing, but that would be overdone to mention it once.
Well, everything in base, we mentioned CJ Kafis during the show earlier today. It was mentioned. Was it not?
About last night.
About last night? Okay, you got mentioned.
For about 20 seconds.
Or Lima Likes, it was mentioned. Yeah.
The floor is yours if you would like to discuss CJ Kafis.
I just did it. Pay attention when I'm talking now.
According to you, we need to have a whole segment of CJ Kafis.
It just goes to show. That's a great example of it.
Let's have a whole segment.
I talked about him right there, and you didn't even pay attention.
Let's have a whole segment of CJ Kafis. So, no,
welcome to Cleveland, CJ. I hope your career is bright.
I hope it is, too.
The guys that do the sports talk of the town don't give a crap.
What are you yelling at me for? I hope it is, too.
I did mention that he drove in his first RBI on Saturday, and yesterday he had a double to get on the box score.
Congratulations to you both for repeating what I just said in that first minute and a half of talking.
I didn't say it.
Because you don't even care.
Okay, you're screaming
just
at me.
Just say you don't care.
Don't scream at me over it.
Say you don't care. Just say I don't care.
Why would I care if CJ Kafis gets called up? I got people. Wait, hold on. Just a GD minute here. See, now I'm getting upset. You act like I don't care. I'm sorry, Owen.
Just say it,
no,
Kim.
I'm not sorry. What? Say what? What do you want me to say?
Say
I don't care.
You don't care that CJ Kafis is playing for Cleveland
Guardians. I do care. What's a bigger deal, though? What's a bigger deal? What is a bigger deal? A guy getting called up on a team that people are kind of like, we'll see what they do, which is great. What? How much pressure am I supposed to put on this guy?
You're
going to
tell me it's a bigger deal for the first week of football practice.
Yes, it is. Because for CJ Kafis, he's going to be brought along slowly no matter what.
Daryl Ryder says should be behind the ball boys.
CJ Kafis is going to be brought along slowly no matter what. One of these guys, apparently, is going to be playing sooner than later. And then I got a first-round pick or two first-round picks next year. Yes, it's a much bigger deal. I got a team right now that I think the fans are more all in than the organization. And all in is, I think, a operative term that probably
the point,
needs to be
that
taken.
That was the first 2 minutes of my talk that you didn't quotes. Pay attention okay. to. That I'm more upset with the Guardians for not bringing him up.
Well,
it's
you start by you're
though.
Yelling at me. I'm not Paul Dolan.
Because you didn't pay attention. That's what
I'm
yelled at you for.
Attention.
And now you're not paying attention to the thing
attention.
That I told you you weren't paying attention
all
to.
All the attention is
now
here.
Now you are, finally, because I had to yell.
Is here for
I had to
you.
Treat you like one of my children,
oh,
Ken, and yell at you.
Well, you got eight of them. I mean, there's plenty of time for it.
What I saw most people bring up about Kafis is that they didn't look like they thought he would look. Because let's be honest, I don't think...
Right, no, I think they thought he was going to look like Nolan Jones on steroids.
Right.
And he does not.
Instead,
he looks like Dylan Gabriel.
Yeah, look, I'm not going to go that far. I don't need Daryl getting in on this conversation and talking about
he
him as a
be
bat boy.
The bat boy.
Yeah, that's what he's going to say. It's that, you know, he didn't look like a monster, like one of these big boppers. But either way, like, I do think there is... genuine excitement. You're right, Owen, that it's a little late, right? I mean, we were talking mostly about DeLauder.
Right.
And then he ends up getting injured and feels like nobody was proven right in that scenario. It feels like nobody gets to, gets to have their arguments anymore, because for all the people that wanted him up, well, then he just gets injured, and so we'll never know. We'll never know what this year would have been. I remember arguing until I was blue in the face about Francisco Lindor years ago that I wanted him up. I wanted him up. I wanted him up. And then he was instantly ready.
And they brought him up a month too late, yes. And they missed the playoffs by a game.
Right. And I thought, man, that could have been the difference. So you're right in this regard. Like, you've been screaming about these guys. You've been excited. I've had friends that have like gone to the games of these guys.
Yeah.
And they have been excited while the team was languishing during the 10-game losing streak. It had reached such a point where people could not believe what they believed that was a total mishandling of the situation. And now we're finally here. And the crazy thing is, they can make the playoffs. Like, it actually is physically not too late. It's just now there's no margin for error. They have to be good. They have a big series against. They've won a bunch of series here recently.
Yeah, the Mets series is going to be a tough one.
It is a huge one. And you're seeing their best pitchers.
Crappy teams that they play against.
Yes, a bunch of them. But you don't want them to lose momentum. You don't want them all of a sudden. Because what are they, 16-7 in their last 23 after they had lost 10 in a row? Man, this is a big series. And I do think fans are wavering, where if they just look like crap in this series against the Mets, well, that's it. Preseason starts.
It is a battleground time for fans' attention.
Yeah. And
that was my whole point of it all. But that's fine. We can go back to asking, does the 40-year-old quarterback have a 10-year future with the Browns?
No, I got this. I got this. Murph. Hey, Murphy in Cleveland, who would you rather talk about? Would you rather talk about C.J. Kafis or the Browns quarterback?
Well, I was happy to see Kafis up. But my mind is squarely on the Browns this morning.
And Murphy, is that not the end of the discussion? Is that not the end of the discussion? Hey, we're happy to see him up. But if he goes out there and he's 0 for 4 tonight, this guy sucks, and now I'm mad at Paul Dolan in the front office. Forget. Like, that's crazy. That's crazy.
Yeah, I'm going to let you guys duke that out.
I don't want to duke it out, though. I don't want to fight that fight. Sorry, go ahead, Murphy. Go ahead.
No worries. It's a fascinating conversation, right? Because you got the front office, you got the fans, and you mentioned the locker room. But if I'm just going to completely talk as a fan, I think starting Flacco is a complete waste of time. If it were me, I would start Pickett, because your first six games are pretty tough. And if he has anything at all in those six games, maybe you have something. But, I mean, if you have Flacco, like, willing you to, like, 6 or 7 wins, that, I mean, what I see absolutely no point in, like, maybe ending up out of the top 10 in the draft. But it's tough because, I mean, does that stunt the growth of like your new tight end that you got in the draft and some receivers that you're getting if you're not having Flacco in there early? Mm-hmm. I just, as a fan, I just don't see the point of starting him at all.
Of Joe?
I'm actually asking him if he...
Yeah, you know. I mean, if you had a team like... If you had a team that was ready to compete right now, I could see it to some level, even though if you had a team that was ready to compete, you probably wouldn't have gone with Joe.
Or if you had a first round pick that was like really good in college, but like needed maybe 3 or 4 games just to kind of see what was up, just given our schedule, mm-hmm. You start Joe. But this particular situation, I mean, it's just one great experiment. But I mean, I think the worst scenario is Flacco shows you just enough to get you to like 7, 8 wins. And then you're like and I know we have the 2 first round picks, but you're like picking number 12 in the draft or something like that. I don't see a point to that at all this particular year.
Yeah, it makes it. I'm glad you see where it is, Murphy, because I'm sure I'm going to get killed for all this. Thank you very much for the call. Because I have a lot of respect for Joe Flacco. No, I have respect for all 4 of the guys, for crying out loud. I know it doesn't sound like I have respect for one of them, but I do. I got a lot of respect for Joe Flacco, but if you're looking at it from a pure fan going, hey, I don't want my time wasted. Like, Shador Sanders is not a waste of time. You can hate Shador Sanders all you want. You know damn well he ain't no waste of time. He is not a waste of time. Dylan Gabriel, as much as has been said about Dylan Gabriel by Daryl in that interview and over the weekend, Dylan is not a waste of time. He's a rookie. And you could sit there and go, how on earth could this brain trust draft that guy in the 3rd round? Because if that guy goes out there and shows you, because we're going on camp reports, we're going on what people see in camp, right? These are still controlled situations. If you're not that great in controlled situations, usually you're not going to be great in uncontrolled situations like it is in an NFL football game, even in the preseason. So if he goes out there and sucks, and then sucks again in the next preseason game, but probably, let's be honest, we'll have our early returns on Friday night and then into Monday morning, where we'll go, how on earth could you guys sit there and take this guy in the 3rd round? How on earth could you insult our intelligence by taking this in the 3rd round? How on earth could you insult our intelligence by taking this guy in the third round and putting him in front of Shedeur Sanders on your depth chart? See, I already got it there for you. And by the way, legitimate questions to ask of the football team. Totally legitimate. Because if he goes out there and sucks on Friday, I got to go, what are you guys thinking? What are you guys doing? They barely trust you as it is, if any. And then you take him in the third round, which blew everybody's mind when they did it. I told you our reaction in the room when they took Dylan Gabriel. Wasn't like we were mad. We were just going, what? Really? It was shock. So if you put Dylan Gabriel out there and he sucks, going, all right, you said all these measurables, all these things, you put him out there, he's still not good in camp, and then he's not good in the games. What good is he for you? And you took him in the third round? Good God almighty. I mean, it's set up right there. So, yeah. But Joe, God bless him, he's just working against time. If Joe were 31 years old, it'd be a different conversation.
By the way, Shedeur is going to be fine for anybody that might be
going
to practice
today. I'm glad you brought this up.
Mary Kay just tweeted that out, too.
Full go.
So are we talking first round? Or are we talking first team reps for Shedeur? Ones for Shedeur.
I'm not even...
Please, I don't know. Kevin, I know you can hear me. And I know people in the building can hear me. Please, give me a handful of reps with the ones. Just give us some reps with the ones. Kevin, I know you're there. I'm begging you. Somebody can hear me. Please get the message. Just give me a handful. Give me five. Give me five reps with the ones. Joe don't need him. He's old.
Give me five.
Joe don't need him. He's old as the hills. Give him to Shedeur. Give five for Shedeur. Can we have that? I'm asking you a legitimate question.
I think we would be fine with it. I think we would be rooting it on because at least it just gives us something. You know, part of it is, too, like the sink or swim notion of this. I don't even care if Shedeur goes out there and looks awful with the five. Like, I don't think that's the end of Shedeur Sanders in the NFL. Like, it's camp. It's camp. Obviously, the preseason game, we're going to be monitoring every throw even that much more than we've done this so far in camp.
I tell you what, if he goes out there and he struggles a little bit with the ones, you ain't going to hear me doing any of the other crap tomorrow. I'll be happy he got some reps with the ones. If he goes out there and he's great, see where I go. It's just great for everybody if he's great, but we'll find out. Scott and Pepper Pike. Hello, Scott.
Hey, guys. I just think that what are you teaching this locker room about a winning culture, which we have not had in a long time, if you don't start the best quarterback, who is Flacco? Eventually, the young guys are going to get a chance to start this season because, I mean, look at this schedule. We're not going to win more than a couple games in the first six.
Uh-huh.
So they're going to get a start. But how do you tell Betonio and Garrett and even the young guys that you're going to start someone who's just not equipped at winning right away? You got to put Flacco in there.
Well, did I not say that it's a different outlook for the team than it is for us? I did say that, didn't I?
Yeah.
Scott, yeah. So it's for the team itself, if they were to take, I'm going to use Dylan Gabriel. It's a poor example because everybody's beating up on him, right? But I'm going to do it. If you were saying Dylan Gabriel's the number one guy, he's starting week one, I think Joel Bitonio would be like, man, I came back for all this.
Right.
Maybe Jordan Hicks had the right idea. Maybe Jordan Hicks had the right idea on that. Like, but if you start Joe, you could at least say, hey, we gave it the best chance to go ahead and win. But I think for the fans, you know, it's not our jobs that are on the line, Scott, and thank you very much for the call. So you could say, hey, whatever. If you're not going to win that many games, and I don't think you're winning that many games anyway, why do I need to put the older guy out there? Oh, the older guy was great, and in 2023 was fun, but I got to look forward to 2026 now. I can't just keep reliving old times. And maybe the old times aren't going to be as good.
I mean, that would go away literally if they just lose the first two games and Flacco looks bad. The good times will seem like they were a decade ago.
216-474-0092. Mike in West Perk, you're next up on the Fan.
What's up, guys?
Hello.
Hello.
How you doing?
Doing well. Go ahead there,
That's
Mike.
That's nice of you to ask. Thank you.
I just want to chime in on the conversation between like guards and Kafis and Browns quarterbacks talk. Give me Guardians talk all day. Give me CJ Kafis talk all day. I chimed in on your guys' station yesterday, and the guy, I'm not gonna throw the guys under the bus, but the guys that were on,
we'll do it.
They were talking mock draft yesterday. It's August, guys, and we're talking mock draft.
But give me your CJ Kafis take right now.
I don't need a take on him. I'm just saying no one wants to hear this nonsense about a terrible football team. I'm a Browns fan. I'm a Cleveland fan, but they're not a good team. Talk about the team that is consistently competitive and a decent team in this town. Like, give them some run.
Okay, keep giving me the run. Keep giving me more. What? CJ Kafis is here, and CJ Kafis is here, and. Hello?
He's not on the phone
anymore. I know he's not. That's the thing, is you could say that and call in and say that in 5 seconds. I can give you all this in 5 seconds. CJ Kafis is here. And Tone?
I think he just would like to hear a little bit of Guardians banter.
You got the Guardians banter. They're 8 games back of the division right now. They are 56-55. CJ Kafis is here, and you're 56-55 and 2.5 back of the wild card. 2 back of the wild card to start today. 3 back of the wild card to start today, according to ESPN.com. I just saw that.
And
I thought
also
it was 2.5.
Everyone else in the world.
Okay, so you're 3.5. You're 3 games back of the wild card. And CJ Kafis is here. There you go.
Big series against the Metropolitans tonight.
You want me to talk about whether or not Tanner Bibee is an ace? Whether we should get off that?
Get to see our old friend, Francisco Lindor.
We want to talk about that? Do you still have bad feelings for Francisco Lindor? 216-474-0092.